Let's talk digital. We are at the cutting edge of digital tweaks, changes, transformation.
A local digital marketing podcast.
Conversing with industry experts and getting excerpts about the exceptional.
Hosted by Audrey Naidu.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. I'm really looking forward to what's coming up in South Africa in the next couple of months and years. Hello everyone and welcome back to Let's Talk Digital with myself, Audrey Naidu. A local shout out to everyone at home at this time, hoping you are keeping safe as we're experiencing the third wave of COVID in South Africa. We are going to get through this, guys. According to the recent IB Internet Revenue Report conducted by PwC, the South African internet advertising revenue grew by 18% in 2020, with a total revenue of 4.7 billion. The big question is, how are marketers measuring the effectiveness and efficacy of their marketing investment? What defines success? Are we still measuring on vanity metrics, considering we have access to more sophisticated tech and analytics tools at our disposal? Today we get to speak to Neil Percy, marketing data consultant at MeasureByte, with over 15 years experience in analytics, data-driven marketing and strategic leadership. Neil specializes in creating best-in-class analytics strategies, capabilities, teams and measurement solutions. Previously head of digital performance and shareholder in Ra Group before becoming an independent consultant in November 2020. Good morning, Neil. Welcome to the podcast.
Morning, Audrey, and thanks for having me. Great honor to be on this call with you.
Neil, you are a specialist and SME in the area of analytics and data-driven marketing with 15 years of experience behind you. How did you come to land in this space and what drives this passion?
So I'm not sure traditional. I don't have a traditional background. I come from quite an entrepreneurial background. And, you know, back when I was about 21, I started a little business and actually just struggled to get website traffic to the site. And through that, I just started exploring. And from there, I just realized that actually I've got more passion around the data side of things and stopped that business and started a little business called Web Growth back in 2006. And since then, just been very passionate about the analytics side, understanding user behavior, understanding consumer and customer intent. I think that's really what it's down to. I think what I've discovered over the last few years is actually what I'm really passionate about is digital transformation, because a lot of what I do enables and empowers that journey for brands, is that taking that data and then being able to translate it into something usable and use it for businesses to grow their online presence and product and be able to pivot into different areas. So the analytics space is a great place to figure out digital transformation and that journey.
That's interesting that you bring up analytics and digital transformation together. I don't think many marketers consider that in their approach.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of traditional, you know, marketing, and I think it's now becoming a digital first or even like a mobile first. And there's a big chasm between traditional and digital. So, you know, traditional marketers now need to understand digital and the metrics that we're going to talk about today.
No, definitely. So with that said, let's step into the topic. What do you think is the fundamental root cause to the issue at hand? We're talking about the marketer's measurement dilemma. What's going on in the industry right now?
Well, you know, it's just there's so much data and out there, and there's also, you know, you've got different teams, you've got different departments, different suppliers, and I always say that they actually unintentionally they've created silos, not because and it's not intentional, it's just because they're all trying to prove their value, and then what happens is I think that's where this term vanity metrics comes in, is because they just, you know, people are throwing metrics of departments are trying to put these pieces together, and it's fragmented. So that's really what the challenge is right now, is to try and unify the data and make sense of it.
I'm going to ask you a simple question, and a lot of people grapple with this when, I mean, I talk about vanity metrics all the time, but I think people struggle with the definition of what is vanity metrics and why should we measure it or not measure it? What is your opinion on that?
It comes down to purpose. So the metric that you're presenting, visualizing, it needs to speak to the purpose, whether it, you know, down to the objective. So I always, you know, always go back to the objectives. Like, what is the objective? And why is this metric here? Why is that metric speaking to that objective? And if it's not speaking to that metric, potentially falling into the vanity metric space. So there are, I mean, there are some traditional vanity metrics that actually, if put in the right way, makes sense because it needs to speak to the objective. But I think that's the best way to classify it. It has to align to the purpose of what you're trying to tell in the story, in the data story.
So if you have to define vanity metrics?
If I had to define vanity metrics, it's low value. Low value.
The reason why I'm asking you this is because I'm noticing that many brands are still using media metrics as a proxy to the campaign success.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, so here's an example, right? CPM. Okay. For me, that's a vanity metric because CPM isn't really giving you anything. It's a technical metric, but it adds no value to how a brand's going to grow. And that's what I'm after. I'm after metrics that, what you should be after is how brands grow, right? And a CPM it doesn't tell me that in that instance. So, and we can go into a little bit more detail later on, because I think there's a point there that we need to make a little bit later around, the different types of metrics across paid, owned, and earned. But CPM is a classic example, and I come across it a lot.
Yeah, I am looking forward to going deeper into that because I have my own thoughts around it. But you recently did a poll on LinkedIn on this subject, which is how you and I met. And your question was, what, in your opinion, is the number one marketing challenge that needs to be solved? Can you share with us what was the result of this poll and some of the comments emanating from this?
Yeah, so the four options I gave were around the challenges was data privacy, siloed reporting, marketing ROI, and a lack of insights. For me, those were that's the starting point to address the challenges. And I mean, the first point is, okay, so the number one that being able to create the awareness, because I think everyone's trying to do their own thing and professing to have it right, but I think no one's really getting it right 100%. I think it is a journey, and by creating the awareness, we get better and better at making these decisions. And when it comes to ROI, and then you have the whole debate around, you know, the cookie and the death of the cookie, and how do you, because then it becomes an attribution conversation. How do you measure attribution? And I think that's going to degrade over time, and accuracy, or the amount of data that you're going to have over time is going to decrease. And what is the alternative? What is the alternative to measuring ROI? And for me, what I'm seeing and the conversations that have come from that is measuring impact. Being able to measure impact is going to be critical. So it's not a case of 1 + 1 = 2, but it's more around correlation, and not so much causation. I think the better you become at measuring it, and again, it's maturity and it's a journey, but the better you can become at understanding the correlations in data from driving an awareness campaign through to acquisition, if you do X at awareness, does it filter down into consideration and acquisition? And when you can find those correlations, that's when you can measure impact. So for me, that's really the outcome is from that poll is understanding impact and having conversations around that. Because also the other thing just on that poll is that depending on who you are, ROI means different things as well. If you're a CMO, ROI is one view. If you're head of digital, and ROI is another view. And if you're a technical specialist managing paid media, then ROI is different to you as well. So there's different views, and it comes down to your individual KPIs and what that looks like for you, because ultimately you need to be able to measure ROI as to what you do as an individual and your contribution back to the business. So ROI is many layers to it, and I think it needs to start at the right place. For me, the right starting point is CMO, because they kind of hold that mantle, and it can filter then from top down into the team. But the CMO really needs to understand what their ROI is first.
Yeah, I think you make a pertinent point around ROI. For me, it's quite elusive that it's a loosely used term. People actually don't consider what ROI means for their own businesses. And then secondly, it's multidimensional. So you did bring up an important point in terms of the customer journey. It's from the ad to the action that you want the customer to take. It's not a linear journey anymore, which is why you brought in the attribution conversation. So understanding that is quite complex. You would need a set of expertise, but you need the right tools and tech to support your mandate that you're trying to drive. And I think very often marketers tend to look to the media agency to solve all the problems for them. And due to the fact that it is a cross function, that is not only the responsibility of marketers to get this done, it becomes an even more a challenge for organizations to get this right. What I'm seeing is that marketing cannot function in isolation anymore. We are at a strategic point of inflection. So there is a symbiotic relationship with the channel guys, with the analytics teams, with the data teams, because underpinning all of this is setting up the right foundation for success. So it's not simple as saying, marketers need to be accountable for the investment, that's correct. But they also need to understand that there is this whole lot of work that needs to be done in the background. And to your initial point, it's not a destination, it's a journey.
Yeah. You reminded me of something when you made a point there. I think the one thing when it was across departments, when you're talking sales, because now you have to integrate sales, I think the pressure on CMOs is massive now to show ROI. And very simplistically, ROI is, attributed, the marketing efforts attributed into sales. Now, that's the key, is to link sales, marketing efforts into sales, right? And what that comes down to is marketing operations. I always go back to, the people aspect of it, because it's the people that are going to break down those silos and that intention to break it down. Because you're going to have to get marketing working with the digital team or the digital intelligence team or the BI team. You're going to have to get them working with the sales team. And all that is linked now. So the marketing operations for me is becoming really important to solve. And I think that's what we need to think about, is how we start connecting the dots. And it requires someone with a technical knowledge of the broader landscape of tech, plus the operational people aspect to get the momentum and the traction inside the building.
100%, I completely agree with you. When you were at RA as head of digital performance, how did you manage the measurement components with your clients? What conversations were you having with them?
So what we did was, I think the formula there was around, it was around, that's when I realized why I think I'm actually just inclined to be a digital transformational person. I enjoy that role. And I think what we did right there was, and what they are doing right now, is being able to take their client on a journey and getting right back to the basics of those metrics that matter to key stakeholders, i.e. the CMO and the heads of departments, and then taking them on that journey and being able to visualize the data correctly. Because I think the challenge coming into Hurrah, the challenge for me was to get rid of the negative sort of sentiment around a dashboard, because a dashboard is a dashboard and no one really looks at a dashboard, right? And And when someone has taken along a journey as to how to build that and their input, they become owners of that data as well. Because if the dashboard then fails, then they also fail. So if you take them along a journey, they're more inclined to be a part of that. So for me, it was getting down to the basics and stripping out those vanity metrics, breaking down the silos. And that has its challenges, even as an agency, like, cause you're in a silo in within yourself. So the first thing was, okay, well, let's break silos around, paid and owned and earned, because that's, you know, Hurrah is also a creative agency, a data led creative. So just breaking that down internally, with traditional, or marketers that come from, other agencies, you know, you have to break down those habits and create new habits. So there were even silos within Hurrah, like any other agency. So breaking that down was critical, and then moving that across into clients and then taking them along that journey, because the client ultimately needs to make, also be a part of the decision making. I don't think it can just be the agency. The client also needs to see the data and be involved and find those insights, with the agency. I think it's a collective. So like I said, like if that client or the brand is invested in the data and understands the data, the success of that reporting and the data project will be a lot more successful.
From experience, it's about the input of data and the outflow of data. So from an agency standpoint, is you need data from clients, especially when you're driving a performance objective. For example, what's their target? You know, what is the customer lifetime value? So you need to bring in finance into that conversation. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, there are, I mean, So I always believe, and the one thing that we always try to do is to say that the client owns the data, right? As an agency, we just a facilitator of that data, and we manage the data for them, but ultimately they own it. But I think the best relationships between agency and client is when client trusts the agency with their data, because the more the business data you can bring into reporting, and I'm talking sales data, into performance data, then media performance data, the better the insights become. So for me, that was always the challenge, right? And that's where the education part comes in, is to say to speak to the brand around how to bring that business data in is critical.
Let's talk about tech, data, and analytics. What is the interrelationships between these three? Because all three are critical for success.
Yeah, and all equally complex.
Exactly.
I think I mentioned it earlier. You know, so you have the tech side, and that's, you have to embed the right tech, right? And then you build process around the tech. I think I've seen companies invest a lot in tech, and then no one uses it. The adoption is poor. Just like what we do from a data reporting perspective, if you don't build the right processes around it, adoption is going to be poor. So the key thing around tech is to build process and to get multiple stakeholders, and it comes down to KPIs, because I always say people are invested in their own KPIs. So if you have a tech piece in your business, someone has to be responsible for it. And then, so that's the embedding part and process. The data side is now, like, you've got the tech and now you're collecting the data. The data quality is critical, right? And that comes down to habits. So if you've got good processes, you've got good habits. And good habits equals good data, which then is that third piece around analytics, because your analytics is going to be poor if the data quality is poor. So that's why I say it's all, you know, people and process are more important than the data and the tech. So you can't just look at tech in isolation. So then from an analytics piece, I think most companies, I'd say, from what I've seen, are all, you know, in hindsight, and they're just collecting data and they're looking at hindsight and they're trying to find insights in hindsight. Where companies need to go, and they can only go there if the quality of the data is good, is to go into foresight and predictive. And that's really, you know, that's the holy grail of data, is to get into the predictive side of things. Again, it's a journey, and it's small marginal wins over time to get to that place.
So over time, will you be able to automate this process?
Yeah, to some extent. I think you always need humans to manage and to QA and to validate. And you need technical knowledge to build the architecture. But yes, I think there's technology out there that can automate a lot, which is amazing, because then I think we shouldn't be, as humans, be doing anything manual around reporting and that stuff. That should all be automated. And then as the humans, we're using human intelligence to provide the real insights, which is going to provide the 10x growth. Yes, and technology can provide insights, but I don't think tech has quite cracked it yet. I think, you know, human intelligence and context and nuances are still needed to surface those and to be able to tell the story, because ultimately a decision needs to be made, right? And you could have the best insights in the world, but if no one actions them, then they're worthless. So there's always going to be a need for human intelligence laid on top of all this data.
And from your experience, having worked with multiple different clients across verticals, which brands or verticals are getting this right or putting more effort and investment into this?
I won't tell you the brands that are getting it wrong, but
okay,
I'll tell you. But I'll tell you the brand. Well, from experience, what I've seen, I would say AB and Bev. You know, so what we did at Hurrah is we built the internal agency called Draftline, and we took it from like a team of 10 to over 100 people in the space of 12 to 15 months. And just being exposed to their way of thinking, I think it's leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of companies. And they're just very strategic in how they value audience. Audience and creative is critical. So that team that we built was basically bringing a lot of audience intelligence into their marketing. So for me, they're the front runner when it comes to measurement and brand marketing. I think they're getting to a point where they can start understanding what's driving salience and brand awareness, that mental availability that brands are after.
Yeah, kudos to AB and Bev. Are there any other verticals that you believe are moving in the right direction?
From a vertical perspective, I would say FMCG. I think, you know, it's all about the volume of data as well. So FMCG, definitely. I think insurance, there are some insurers getting it right from the finance perspective. FMCG, finance are the ones that stand out.
I just want to talk about paid, owned, and earned media. What does this mean? Because very often marketers just focus on the paid media. How does this impact measurement, your measurement framework or your scorecard?
Yeah. Well, you use the word impact, right?
Yes.
And I think that's key. So I come from a performance background, and performance is all about paid. So that's my lens. But from what I've been exposed to, I think brands need to be looking at the whole ecosystem and starting with owned. I always talk about counter metrics. So you'll have a counter metric in paid. We'll have a metric in paid And then you might have a counter metric that exists inside owned. And when you start doing that, because what paid, owned, and earned are doing is they've also created their own silos unintentionally, but they're there. And if you can get a full view across those three mediums, then you're in a good place, because you need to focus on, the brand needs to focus on owned, generating owned content. Then from there, look at how that plays out in paid to promote that owned content. And then the next piece is earned. So like, what are the conversations happening off that? What's driving share of voice? What's driving salience? And that's why, again, I go back to marketing operations, because someone in marketing operations needs to be able to connect those three pieces all together, from owned, paid, and earned. If you're promoting the owned, then you need to start tracking the conversation and the engagement off that, which speaks to how a brand is measuring up against salience, as an example. I'm a huge fan of salience and mental availability, because that's ultimately how brands grow, or one piece of how brands grow.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you a silly question. How would you define owned media?
In terms of, so it's content, obviously it's your own content, right? It's your website. It's also content that you've created as a brand and you've put on platforms like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. You're in control of it. The one way I look at it is, if you're able to get data off it, when I say data, I mean you have analytics off it, because you'll have analytics inside LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and obviously Google Analytics or whatever analytics platform you're using on your website. For me, those are very basic versions of owned.
And in terms of digital metrics, I mean, you and I had this discussion. What would you say is the value of an impression? We know that not every impression is equal.
Yeah. So you would have heard me say and talk about salience, right? I want to just take a step back and just give context to why we say not every impression is equal. So you're a consumer, and you're wanting to buy a pair of running shoes, right? What brand do you think of?
Well, I am a loyal fan of Nike, so yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. 95% of people I ask that question, where's their Nike? So they're really good at salience. So that's a measure of mental availability. That's salience, the memorability of a brand at the point of purchase. Now you go in store, you go onto an e-commerce store, you go in a shop, brick and mortar shop, and then you go and look. And then you might come across an Adidas pair of shoes or a New Balance or whatever. And then you might actually not buy the Nike, you might buy another pair. They are ticking the box of acquisition. And so the brands who can do both are the ones that are going to grow. Now, I wanted to make that point because an impression, does an impression drive, what type of impression drives salience? Now, then I ask another question. Can you remember the last five banner ads that you've seen?
I do. Because I go and actively go and check what competitors are doing on, especially on programmatic. So I've got screenshots of banner ads from our competitors.
You're the anomaly. but most will say no from the research. And that's why I say it's easy to buy an impression. It's very difficult to make an impact off that paid banner impression. What really drives salience is video views. So if you think of YouTube, or if you're on streaming platforms and there's ads in between, there's a very good chance that the person will remember that video or that ad, the TV ad. So that's why we need to really rethink impressions. And then you go into the earned space. So where I'm trying to land it is, when someone's sharing content, right, with their friends or whoever within network, there's a reason why they shared it. And that impression, the ripple effect of that is an earned impression. Now, that earned impression is way, in my opinion, and it's my opinion, but I just see the data to back it up, is way more valuable than a paid impression. So I guess where I'm going with the measurement framework is that should we really be looking at CPM, and I use that as a metric, or even impressions, should we really be reporting on paid impressions and rather be focusing on video and what brands should be doing around video, as an example? And then the paid side of it is really to drive earned impressions off that. So that's the paid media's job with content, is to really figure out how to drive that content to get the most out of it, to get the earned, to drive conversation, to understand what's happening around that campaign, around in terms of the conversation around it. So for me, that's why not every impression is equally weighted. And I think we need to start getting our heads around that.
It's funny you should say that, because the first thing I see in PTA reports or monthly dashboards is this huge block that says how many impressions were served.
Mm.
And then when you see 2, 3, 4 million impressions, you're supposed to get excited, you know, that your campaign has done phenomenally well, because media has done its job. So, you know, what should marketers be looking for? I mean, you've mentioned the dashboard often in terms of data visualization. What should marketers be looking for in these types of dashboard? What is a valuable metric or metrics?
There's not one single metric. That's, I think it's a culmination of things. I think the ability, for me, it's the ability to make decisions. And I use what I've seen work well is a simple RAG, red, amber, green. And I guess this also comes down to maturity of a brand or maturity of reporting, is that it's one thing surfacing data. It's another thing setting targets. But you also need to be setting targets on the right metrics. If you're setting targets against the wrong metrics, then you're still not in a good spot. So first is to define those metrics, what they are, and then think about how to visualize a red, amber, green. Are you doing well? Are you off target? Are you terrible? What can we do? Let's get all hands on deck to solve that. So in terms of the visualization piece, I think that's really important. I would say to find the right metrics that are going to drive salience. And I talk about earned impressions. I talk about share of voice as being another. Talk about even reach. I think reach is still good. But then the counter metric to reach is frequency and video duration, because you don't want to be reaching billions of people, but your video duration is really poor, as an example, or your frequency is very low. Like, you need to have a certain threshold there. So there's always a counter metric.
Okay, so cost per view is out of the question. Or should you be worried about that?
Because I think it's video duration
often enough.
Yeah, so cost per view, what is it really? It all depends, right? For me, if you've got a really cost per view, but your video duration is poor, it means nothing. For me, it's this low value there. I'd rather have a high cost per view with a high video duration. It's all about the video.
Quality,
for me, it's about it's competing for that attention. Mm. Like, that's obviously there's optimizations around it, but I think it's metrics that speak to how to get the attention of the user. That's the consumer. That's the key piece there.
Well, it all boils down to quality.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah. So the question I wanted to ask you is, what is your opinion of benchmarks?
Depends what you're benchmarking. I think benchmarking, it's a common question. I prefer what I've seen, what helps over the long term, is actually just benchmarking against yourself on historical data. Because what happens is, if you start benchmarking against using external data sources, there's always going to be a question mark, how accurate is that data in terms of other industries or your competitors? To some extent, I think there is data that is 100% accurate, but in most cases, the data that you're getting, third-party data, wouldn't be as accurate as your own. So all you have to do, in my opinion, to keep it really simple, is always, you know, keeping things simple is critical. And that's why, like, momentum is key. If you can benchmark yourself every quarter, every year, year on year, and showing improvement, you know, that for me alone is making good impact. So benchmarks I love. It just depends what, you know, where you're getting that benchmark data from.
Well, your answer is getting a big thumbs up from me. If you're seeing me right now, I've got my thumbs up for you, because that's exactly what my belief is around benchmarking. Do not use industry benchmark as your proxy. You should be building your own, because you have access to all your historical data.
Mm, yeah, it just opens up a can of worms when dealing with senior stakeholders, because then you get it.
Yeah, and then to just close off on that bit of the conversation, you kept on mentioning the CMO. And at the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what is the role of C-suite? You know, not only what is the role of C-suite in all of this, but what is that mindset or mind shift that they need to take right now? Because I don't see C-suite actively involved in measurement. And I may be wrong, you know, I don't want to use blanket statements when it comes to C-suite, but I do feel that there's a gap between the C-suite and the marketers in general in terms of accountability, measurement, transparency, building a culture of having the consumer in mind. Because at the end of the day, if you look at measurement and the principle behind it, everything goes back to the customer.
Yes, exactly. So your question is advice to C-suites. I would say my advice to C-suite is to not go after the holy grail and expect everything to be solved straight away. And I talk a lot about marginal gains and the 1% rule, you know, 1% improvement, you know, over every week over a long period of time is exponential. So that's the one. I think in just getting practical, I think CMO or C-suite CMOs need to understand two things. It's audience and creative. And when you have a good understanding of audience, getting really good at audience intelligence and creative intelligence, when you bring those two together, and then that then says, okay, well, what technology do we need to invest around that? What type of people do we need to hire to build up that knowledge is critical. So audience and creative is for me priority, especially when you're moving into a world where first party data is becoming so important. I think we were in a world where DMPs were like the big thing. I think now with data privacy laws, et cetera, CDPs, first party data is becoming critical, and that can unlock audience understanding.
Now you've opened the door to another topic for a whole new podcast conversation here, Neil. So my question, I'm just thinking, so if you had to weight the input of creative into the success of measurement, what weighting would you give it?
Against audience.
No, again, cool. So if we look at measurement as a whole, and it's interesting that you brought creative into the mix, what weighting would you give it in terms of importance?
I think it's – so for the one reason why – a reason why creative is key. One, it's tangible. You know, senior stakeholders can see it. And they can feel it, like they can see it in terms of if it's working or not, because then you can align the right metrics to that creative. So it's very tangible and when reporting on it. That's like for me. So you're getting the interest, and that's critical. So the weighting is quite high for me, because if you putting out stale creative as an example, you want to be able to. Again, you used the word earlier, benchmark. Like what are you benchmarking yourselves against in terms of what does good look like? And there's an easy way to benchmark yourself around competitor creative. So hugely, I would say it's so important because it's part of the adoption and that digital transformation process for me, because everyone understands creative. We might all have different opinions on it, but that's why you have the data to back it up, whether or not it's good or bad. But creative is a good entry point into creating awareness of data.
No, I completely agree. I mean, I would also give it a high weighting, like 40%, but that's me. And the fact that we don't do it as a discipline. So there's certain elements that you've spoken through this conversation this morning is around what is fundamental in terms of tracking, measuring, having a proper naming taxonomy, because there is guidelines and structure to putting all of this together. So again, that is a totally another conversation. I know that you are heavily involved in training in the measurement and data space. Would you care to give our audience a little bit of context around that?
Yeah, sure. Look, training's in my DNA. I've, you know, been involved with training since early days, 2010, 2011, co-founded, you know, an NGO around education. And so it's close to the heart, I think. So as MeasureBot, what I do is I train around omni-channel measurement, ROI, around how to integrate that into businesses. We do team training. I think that's key. I think the key thing right now is to create awareness. So a lot of what you'll hear me, if you follow me on LinkedIn, a lot of what you'll see me say is data literacy. So data literacy in through a marketing lens, right? So creating awareness, I always say creating awareness is key to make better decisions. And that's what the training serves.
Again, how can people get hold of you if they're interested in your service?
Yeah, so LinkedIn, you can find me on LinkedIn, or you can jump onto Google and just Google MeasureBot, MeasureBYTE, and find my website there. That would be the two easiest ways to find me.
Okay, thanks, Neil, for the conversation today and your time. I think this is such a hot topic right now. Hopefully in the future we can get you back and talk about some of the progress that's been made in South Africa.
Yeah, would love to. Thanks, Audrey. Thanks for your time.
Okay, cool. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, cheers. Bye.
We're excited. You're excited.
I really value and appreciate your support during this time.
Helping decision makers navigate the change and keep some change in their pockets.
Don't forget to subscribe. Follow our Instagram handle at
TalkDigitalZA.
Engage us on our website at TalkDigitalZA.co.za.
And who knows, you could be featuring on the next one.